Wonderful day, Thanksgiving. I think everybody loves Thanksgiving except the turkeys. You know, I think. Let's have a scripture reading from 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 14. Actually, I'm not going to be preaching on this passage, but it's a beautiful passage in the Old Testament where David is thanking God when people are giving gifts to the coming temple that was going to be built. And it's just so beautiful. So let's read it alternately just to set the mood, if you will. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 14. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've only given to you what comes from your hand. I have an interesting picture on the next slide here. Can you see that very well? I don't know. I think I showed this last year at Thanksgiving. It's such a powerful picture. If you Google Canadian Thanksgiving, and this will come up. This always does for me. It's a picture in 1918. This is World War I in France. I forget the exact location. But it's a cathedral in France, as you can see, it's seen better days. It's been bombed out. This is World War One, and it's Thanksgiving Day. It's Canadian Thanksgiving, and these are Canadian soldiers that are coming before God to give thanks. Isn't that powerful? What do you think they're thankful for? Maybe just being alive. One for one, would you say? Maybe that they still have two legs, two arms, and two eyes. I assume most of them do. Maybe they're just thankful for another day on earth after seeing all their friends pass away. Isn't that powerful? Yeah. I think I might even try to copy that off and put a frame on and put it on my wall or something. You know, what have I got to complain about? Right? What have I got to complain about? And you know, when things get tough, there's always two possible responses towards God when things get really tough. And we all go through tough times and really sad times, tough times. But when things get tough, there's a possibility of two responses, right? Like, "God, don't you love me? Where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen?" Or you can just worship God and say, "Thank you, God. I've got another breath of air today, and that you do love me and you do care for me. Thank you for the gift of life that you give me today. Again, you are so good." There's two possible responses, right? So, anyhow, I like their response, and may it be ours always. Then there's some quotes I've got. The next slide there. These are just secular quotes. I like them, though, because they sort of relate to Thanksgiving. "Happiness is not having what you want, it's wanting what you have." Don't you like that one? I love that one. Here's one. "The really happy person is one who can enjoy the scenery when on a detour." Isn't that true? Yeah, amen. We get so focused, don't we? And how many know Anne Frank, the story of Anne Frank? She was, of course, a teenager during the World War II. She was Jewish, and she was hiding from a Nazi occupation. You know, and it was a bad scene, you know, the scene for the Jewish people. She wrote a diary, what have you, but eventually died, right? Eventually got caught and died. But in the midst of all this horror, she wrote this: "Think of all the beauty that's still left in and around you, and be happy." Isn't that amazing? Anyhow, some secular quotes, kind of cool. What's the next slide we have there? This is just an admonition from God to be thankful. Thanksgiving and being thankful is a big theme in God's Word, right? Old Testament, New Testament, it's a big thing. And here's some examples. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Oh boy. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul also said in Colossians, just in this short book of Colossians, I just picked out three verses. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Be thankful. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. On and on it goes. It's a big theme in God's Word in terms of being thankful. So I want to ask the question this morning. The sermon is called 10 Reasons Why It's Good to Thank God. And if you think it's going to be a long sermon, you're wrong. I'm just going to go through them very, very quickly. Plus the fact we're having Thanksgiving. My son's coming. Brent's coming on the ferry as soon as this service is over. So it won't be a long service. That's right. Amen, right? Amen. Okay. I'm a little bit selfish, you know that. Please pray for me. 10 reasons why it's good to thank God. Number one, it decreases anxiety in our lives. A couple of verses there, if I could. Do not be anxious about anything. Easy for him to say, right? But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. That's Philippians 4:6. So obviously, there's a connection between worry and anxiety and stress, with the opposite being just being thankful to God. God, you're so good to me. That is an antidote for anxiety. Thanksgiving to God is an antidote for anxiety. It brings peace inwardly as you express yourself. Is that a good thing? Yeah. Amen. I like it. I like that thing. It says, let the peace of Christ rule. The peace of Christ rule in your hearts. How do you get it? Well, you're members of one body and called to peace, but be thankful, right? There's a connection there between deep peace within and being thankful. So that's what the Bible says anyhow. Now I have what's the next slide there? I have something there. Isn't that cool? Let me tell you what this is. As a matter of fact, you have a handout in the back there, but basically, we'll get that in a second. I'll explain this one first. This is a scientific measurement of two different people. One person who is very frustrated, and one person who is in a spirit of gratitude. This is a scientific experiment, and that measures what's going on in your heart when you're frustrated, and that's measuring what goes on in your heart when you are in an attitude of gratitude, thankful. That's an actual measurement, scientific measurement. Isn't that cool? So as you can see, when you're in an attitude of gratitude, you're thankful, your heart is like, hums along, right? But when you're frustrated and not grateful and, why is this happening? It's all jerky. Your heart is jerky. That's probably when we're like that, people call us jerks, right? I don't know. Amen? That's probably true. I don't know. Okay, what's the next slide there? Yeah, this is actually, they do research on this all the time. This is a secular research. I have a handout here in the back here about how gratitude is incredibly, incredibly healthy for us as human beings. Advanced research at the Institute of Health Math, that's a secular scientific research area, and elsewhere, has provided evidence that gratitude is not simply a nice sentiment or feeling. Sustained feelings of gratitude have real benefits, including the following four benefits: biochemical changes, increased positivity, boost to the immune system, emotional compound interest, and all that stuff is explained in the handout here. I'll leave that with you to look at, but that's kind of cool, isn't it? We can be healthy, may not be wealthy and wise, but we can be healthy if we are thankful. And that's a wonderful thing. Okay, what's the next slide there? Yep, we're on to number two. Why is it good to thank God? Number two, I just went through the Bible and I punched in my computer thanks or thanksgiving. All give me all the verses. I just picked some. That's what I did here. I thought that was cool. Well, why not? See what the Bible says about it. Okay, number two, it decreases coarseness and insensitivity in our lives. Paul says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Now, What does that mean, obscenity? Well, you know what kind of what obscenity is, and it's, you know, sometimes you watch a movie and there's a lot of swearing and rage and verbal attacking. There's a lot of rudeness, and it's like sometimes I've watched movies and I've had to turn them off. I just can't handle it. You know, I'm okay with some stuff. You know, reality is reality, but come on, this is just too much. My spirit's just starting to get, like it's violated almost. Sorry, you're off. Click. And God says, no, try to get that out. And so, you know, I don't know why people are, we all do it to a degree, but sometimes it's really awful. And I don't know, it's a turnoff, right? I think it's in a measure of pride. You're trying to impress people that you're tough, you're independent, you're harsh, you're kind of a rebel. I don't know. But it's not healthy inside your spirit. It's not a happy place to be. And it's impure rather than pure, right? And so Thanksgiving, according to this verse, is like an antidote to this kind of stuff that gets into our lives. It sort of cleanses us out. Isn't that nice? That the crud, that kind of crud, that we're human beings, we're all subject to it, let's face it. But Thanksgiving, being thankful, is an antidote, a healthy antidote, to clean up that crud, that kind of obscene foolishness, coarseness in our life. It sort of cleans us out. That's kind of a cool thing too, isn't it? Right on. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to me. Thank you. Number three, why is it good to thank God? It increases joy and gladness in our lives. That's a good one, too. Isaiah 51:3 says, joy and gladness will be found in her thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Somehow, joy and gladness is associated with being thankful. You know, it is quite possible, and I'm going to go over this in a bit, but it's quite possible you can wake up grumpy and then make a deliberate effort to just say, you know, I'm going to be thankful, Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. And just try to do it from your heart. And it can change your grumpiness into grace. Amen. Did you know that? We are human beings. We can do that. We are not subject. We don't have to be slaves to our feelings. Do you agree with that? Yeah. Do our feelings have to push us around? No. Really? Now, who's in charge here? Feelings are, you know, and God has given us that ability to make choices. You can be thankful. And so there's a connection between joy and gladness and thanksgiving. Again, I like those secular quotes we already looked at. Happiness is not having what you want, it's wanting what you have. And then Anne Frank, think of all the beauty that's still left in and around you and be happy. It's a choice. Number four, why is it good to thank God? It keeps us centered on God in tough times. How many go through tough times? Yeah, just a few, but that's... For those of you who don't go through tough times, I bless your name. But we all go through tough times, don't we? And sometimes really tough. And sometimes not just for, you know, a couple of days or a couple of weeks, but like months, sometimes years, different trials we go through. Tough times. And God allows us to go through them, right? You can be the most wonderful, godly person, whatever, but you're still going to have them. It's part of life. And there's good reasons for it. But anyhow... one of the things that keeps us centered on God in tough times, because it's easy to get upset with God, right, when things are going haywire and not getting any better. There's no doubt about it. But one person who did that, that kept centered on God in tough times by being thankful, was Daniel. Daniel 6, verse 10. Remember in Daniel 6, there was a decree by Darius that said, he said, okay, for this month, anybody who doesn't pray, the only God you can pray to is me. I'm Darius. I'll be God for a month. And, you know, it's kind of nice, kind of cool to be God for a month, you know what I mean? But anyhow, Daniel, he wasn't going to be praying to Darius as God. He wanted to stay loyal to the true God, right? And you know the story. And so he continued. Three times a day, he would get on his knees and pray in like an open window so everybody could see it, to give thanks to his God. I'm always giving thanks to my God. And just as he had done before, even though this decree has come out, even though it probably would cost him his life, because if you didn't pray to Darius, you're going to die. They're going to throw you into the lion's den, and the lions are going to gobble you up. Gobble you up. Sounds like Thanksgiving, doesn't it? And so Daniel did that, and he was thrown in the lion's den. Of course, we know the story. God miraculously delivered him, which is cool. But, you know, it's kind of neat that Daniel realized, what gave him that strength? What gave him that sense of peace so that he didn't panic to the place of saying, okay, God, I'll just deny you for 1 month, but just stay loyal and strong and at peace. And he says, because I always, three times a day, I make it a point to be thankful to my God. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to me. You know, you've done this for me. And that kept him strong. Strong. Do you like to be strong in times of trials? Yeah. Well, try it. You might like it. You never know. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Again, I think back to that World War I picture in 1918, all circumstances. And, you know, number five, what's another good reason why we should, why it's good to thank God? It helps us to receive God's grace. And in your prayers for you, their hearts will go out because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. See, grace is God doing good things for us, giving good gifts to us that we don't deserve. Right? We're, in our head, we're so wired to like, okay, if I do this, I get rewarded. If I do something bad, I get a kick in the pants or whatever. But in God's kingdom of grace, it's not that way. Aren't you glad? In the old, under the old covenant, it was. Obey this law, I'll bless you. And if you don't obey this law, I'll curse you. That's not cool. That's the way the world basically operates. And, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't be accountable and all that kind of stuff. But in the heart of God, in terms of his way of accepting us, it's just the opposite. If you muck up and you don't care about me or whatever, I'm still going to bless you and be gracious to you. And I would appreciate it if you just said, thank you. And the more you appreciate the grace of God, right? The more you appreciate the grace of God, the love of God, the grace of God, undeserved. And yet by saying thank you, thank you, thank you, I believe the more he gives you. Because you're open to it. You're open to it. And it's a good atmosphere. It's a good atmosphere. And I think God says, boy, you like that? That makes me feel good. I'm going to give you some more. That's what I think. And now, number six. What's another good reason it is good? Thank God. It invites God's activity into our lives. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, he who thanks sacrifices thank offerings. Like when you give thanksgiving to God, it's like an offering up of thanksgiving to him. It's an act of worship. Oh, I thank you, Lord. You are so good to me. Honors me. And he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. I love this verse. What he's saying is, the more you recognize the good things I do for you and the grace that I give you, the more that motivates me, God says, to do more miracles for you and do good things for you. It prepares the way for more grace. Isn't that amazing? It's a promise. Now you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. But it is a promise from God. And sometimes God's been very gracious to me when I've been really not totally undeserving, just walking my own way. And sometimes in life I've said, well, I'm through with God right now. I still believe in him, blah, blah, blah. But still I'm going my own way. And yet he's still been good to me. I've still seen little miracles. And you know, it's always good to, when you see God show up, to give him praise. Like, for example, little things, even little things. Like, for those of you who were last week, I don't know if some of you were and some of you weren't, but remember I was doing the children's deal at the front here, and because the sermon was about the light of Jesus coming out of us in one of the areas, I said, do you know the song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine? And most of the kids said, no. And I found out later they sing it all the time. You know, like those little monkeys, eh? How to embarrass the pastor? No. I didn't know. I'm not back there. But anyhow, so I said, oh, yeah, we should do it. You know what I'm saying? That. And I told me, oh, we should do this. We should teach the kids this song. Well, they already do it from time to time. But what was neat about that was, and remember we sang it, for those of you here, we sang it on the video. We had a video presentation. We actually sang that song like little children. And you know what was neat? Nancy came up to me after the service and said, you know what? When I was here this morning, the Lord prompted me. I didn't have any idea what was going on. The Lord prompted me that I was going to lead the children in singing This Little Light of Mine. The words were already up there. Isn't that neat? Now you can say, well, that's just a coincidence. Well, there's a lot of stuff like that when you serve God. I can tell you. It's just a little thing. But, you know, and when it does happen, just say, thanks, Lord. Aren't you good? It's like a confirmation. Yep. This is a good thing. That's a God thing. Isn't it good when God shows up? And quite often, just the little things like that. And just don't forget them. I forget the stuff. I should start writing them down. Like, there's tons of stuff. And, I should start journaling them. I remember some of the stuff, you know, some of the major stuff through my life. But a lot of the stuff I've forgotten. And it's too bad because he's so good. And it's just good to know that he's there and with us. I just think that it invites, when you're thankful, it invites more of God's activity. He'll keep on blessing you, and you'll still see those miracles. But I'm just thinking, if you're in an attitude of gratitude, then it's going to increase the activity of God around you. Is that an exciting thing? I believe it is. All right, what's number 7 here? What's another good reason to be thankful? It increases our love for others. Paul says in Ephesians 1:16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. You know, we're supposed to pray for each other, and in that prayer, we're always, you go through it, it's always be thankful when you ask for something. Be thankful when you ask for something. So when I pray for some of you, I say, Lord, I thank you. I try to remember, Lord, I'm thankful for so-and-so, because they're a gift. I thank you. And now, Lord, I just ask you to bless them in this area. But that being thankful, say, Lord, I thank you for them. It creates an atmosphere of kind of gracious love from God through you to them in prayer. You say, well, like, they're my enemy. Well, that's what we talked about last week. The radical thing about Christianity is that we're supposed to pray for our enemies. That's what's different about us. Not we're just nice to nice people. We're nice to nasty people. That's what's different about us. That's what makes Christianity totally different, right? Now, you say, that's impossible. I know, but Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. So, let's be stupid enough to believe it. You know, maybe God can give us love in our hearts for our enemies, and maybe it starts by saying, I bring so-and-so before you, but I thank you for them. Oh, yes, they're wonderful. You know, they're still a gift, and you bless them, and I thank you. And maybe heart starts to soften a little bit, right? Maybe thanksgiving is a key to diffuse bitterness in our hearts towards our enemies when we pray for them. Maybe. We'll leave that with you. Okay, what's number 8? Another reason to give thanks to God, it ministers to God's heart, actually. Marilyn was already talking about that. It ministers to God's heart. This is in the Old Testament where the priests were appointed to worship God. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord. The Ark of the Lord is where God's presence was in the Old Testament. And they were to minister to God. We always think of God ministering to us, which is wonderful. But did you know we also have a responsibility to minister to God? Like, he needs ministering too. And how do you do that? Well, they were to ask him, depend upon him for great things, and to give thanks. Constantly in the Old Testament, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. And that ministers to God's heart. Oh, that makes me feel good. I mean, when you do something nice to a person, they say, thank you very much. That was very kind of you to do that. Thank you. Does that minister to your heart? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you, it ministers to God's heart. And you might ask the question, like, what's the next verse down there? It says, sweet-smelling sacrifices, it's like a burnt offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to God. When you worship God, even in the Old Testament, when they worship God with sacrifices, it's like God smells the smoke. Have you ever like, cooked even turkey, you smell turkey, it's, that smells good, right? You'll probably be thinking that if you haven't had Thanksgiving already. Or whatever, roast beef or what have you. Not ham. I don't like ham, okay? When you invite me over, please do not have ham. I'm already a ham, right? But God smells. That smells good. And Thanksgiving is like an aroma that comes up to him. That makes me feel good. That makes me feel good. So we need to minister to God every day. I think we need to cheer God up. It must be tough. Job being God, would you agree? Being ignored by those you've created and loved, being cursed, being rejected by the world. And there's a sign in heaven before the throne of God. It says, the buck stops here. Isn't that right? It must be hard being God. And, you know, I think he likes a little encouragement sometimes. Lord, I just want to thank you. You are good. The human body is incredible. It's an unbelievable miracle. And you've given that to me. You've designed me. You give me every breath of air I breathe. You love me. You take care of me. You're always with me, even in all these difficult times. I know I go through them, but you're always with me. I just want to say thank you. I don't want to take you for granted. Isn't that wonderful? So, I think that ministers to God's heart. What's that next verse in the same area? Remember this story about Jesus? He healed 10 people, 10 lepers, and only one leper came back, and it was a Gentile, a non-Jewish leper, came back to thank him for it. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan, which was people hated by the Jews, and Jesus was supposed to hate him, but he didn't hate anybody. He even loved his enemies, right? Jesus loved his enemies. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Do you think it warms the heart of God when someone says thank you? I think, you know, it's like he's got feelings too. Is that shocking to you that God has feelings? Huh? Is it shocking to you that God has feelings? Okay. It ministers to heart, God's heart. Number nine. We're getting through here. It's one of the why is it a good thing to thank God? It's one of the worship languages of heaven. You see, this Revelation is a picture of what's happening in heaven, and there was some creatures in heaven, the angels probably, they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." This is the language, the worship language. The pure worship language of heaven includes thanksgiving. And you can see that wherever you go through Revelation, you see that thanks popping in, boop, 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 when it comes to worship. And so I'm suggesting that thanksgiving brings us, in a sense, into the presence of God when you worship Him that way. It brings us into the presence of God. And the presence of God in the New Testament is in two places. It's in heaven. Hebrews talks about entering the presence of God in heaven. And where else? It's in our hearts, right? That's the other place. Why? Because our hearts have become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in our hearts. If you accept that Jesus, God's dwelling in your hearts, the Holy of Holies is in your heart. And God, that's hard to believe, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, God Himself, lives inside of me. You say, "Oh, I don't believe it." Well, that's fine. But that's what the Bible says, so I'm choosing to believe it. I have a hard time believing it, mind you, but I'm choosing to believe it. God lives in me. And so when I'm thanking God, not only am I entering His presence in heaven, but it's like His presence begins to rise up within me. He loves thanksgiving. Oh boy, this is a good atmosphere. I'm coming. I'm going to start filling your life. I'm going to start filling your life and give you peace and power and strength. Start working around you, do miracles and stuff like that. I think it's cool. It's a good thing. Okay, number 10, final reason why it's good to thank God. Because if we don't, we won't. If we don't, we won't. Why do I say that? Well, how many agree it's not a natural thing to thank God? How many agree it's a hard thing to constantly thank God? Yeah. And it says in Romans 1:21, talking about the world, really, how is it turned against God? "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." In other words, the less you thank God and to focus on Him, the more you will naturally drift away from Him and say, "God, who's He? I don't care. Let's try to make life work. Let's get what we want. Whatever. You know, here's my own wisdom. Who cares about God?" And when you stop thanking Him, when you get to the place where you think, "Oh, I'm independent." No, you're not. You're dependent on God's life, His power, His strength, His love. He gives you every breath of air you breathe. But if you forget that, you start drifting away from Him. So this is the last reason. Why is it good to make a deliberate attempt to thank God? Because if we don't, we certainly won't. We'll just drift right away, further away from Him. And that brings us back to Daniel, right? Remember that verse in Daniel where he said three times a day he kept on thanking God? Right? Three times a day he kept on thanking God. We just saw it there. When Daniel in the lion's den, he says, okay. Daniel in the lion's den, he says, okay, I'm going to keep on praying. And three times a day, that shows you that Daniel made a point of thanking God, right? It was scheduled three times a day. Was Daniel a busy man? Remember he was high up in the government? Second in command, by the way. Was he a busy man? Did he fit it in his schedule somehow? Three times a day, he says, sorry, I have to go away. I have to pray to my God and be thankful to him. It was structured. It seemed like it was structured. And it was sustained. Every day he did it. It's not like, well, we'll just skip it this month because I might end up in the lion's den. Every day. And he says, no, I'm going to make a deliberate attempt to be thankful. And I think it's something we can do. I really do. It's a habit that we can build into our lives. I do something called on the computer called Lumosity. It was something that was assigned to me because my brain's not the way it should be, as you know. But anyhow, I was told to do this exercise called Lumosity. It's a scientific program where it gives you different kind of games that you have to do work on and figure out, and some math and some planning, whatever. And it lasts about 15 minutes a day. It's hard, and it measures your progress. And so you're strong in this area, weak in this area, keep up there. And it's like it lasts 15 minutes a day, and it's hard. And when I first started doing it a couple years ago, like I'd do it, you know, two or three times, and I'd miss it for like 7 days or 8 days. And then, oh, I got to do it again. One, two, three. And it never became a habit. But the last few months, I've been doing it on the average, well, actually last 6 months, I'd say, on the average, I do it, I only miss about 3 days a month now. And it's hard to think. Did you know it's hard to think? It's not easy to think. Especially the first thing in the morning when I do it, I don't feel like thinking. Come on, this is like pushing me again. It's hard to think. And but the point is, even though I'm a very undisciplined person, I'll be the first one to admit that. I'm very undisciplined. Are you also undisciplined? Is it just me? I don't know. I'm very undisciplined, and yet I, by God's grace, I've been able to do it. And so can you do something like that with Thanksgiving? Say, I'm going to carve out 10 minutes once a day. and just have a time run. You say, Lord, here's what I can thank you for. You say, there's a handout again in your bulletin there. It says thanks, T-H-A-N. I've handed this out before several times. It's the way I do it. And I can spend usually 10 minutes or so. I can go on. But every day I just start up. It's T-H-A-N-K-S, thanks. I start out by saying, today, T stands for today I'm alive. Thank you for my incredible life, Psalm 139, 14. And I think, I just pause. Not just like, okay, not like that. No, I have to pause from my heart as much as possible. You know, my body's incredible. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are an awesome God. This is unbelievable that you be, you know, that you give me breath every day. I just want to say thank you. You know what I'm saying? Just like that. You know, don't just blurb it out. Think from your heart. Say it from your heart. And then having everything I need, Lord, thank you for providing my needs. A, all in the family. Thank you for my family, my church. I pray for me, it's my ABCs, Audrey, Brent, and Carla, right? I pray for them. And then, of course, I pray for the church family. And new creation blessings. I always thank him for the incredible acceptance, ABC, acceptance, born again, co-heir with Christ. I always thank him for accepting me as 100% righteous in Christ. You say, you can't say that, Ted. You still sin. I know you still sin. I know I still sin. But God accepts me as a holy and holy and righteous as Jesus Christ because I am in Christ. And I just say thank you. You say, you can't, it works if grace is true, it's true. I believe grace is true. That's the gospel, isn't it? I believe that's the gospel. I don't want to have to start pleasing God and trying to measure up again. Forget it. I'm just too mucked up. I need to be accepted just the way I am. Just as I am, right? Billy Graham's hymns sings quite often. And on it goes. Keep remembering authorities. Especially, you know, politicians, you know, politics can make really people really upset, right? And I don't know who's going to be our new prime minister or who will be the new president or, you know, and there's lots of, like, questionable leaders around the world, you know. I won't mention names, but there are certain questionable leaders around the world. And our tendency is to say, when you think of them, think, arr! But, you know, God says we should pray for our leaders. And I try to pray for all the leaders, you know, especially the ones that are I don't agree with the most, because I'll get bitter otherwise. I don't want to get bitter. I want to just bless them. Say, Lord, they need you. And they're a wonderful creation, too, of yours. They need you. And that's one thing you can do there. And S stands for sufferings. It's easy to get upset with God when you're going through suffering. But God says, suffering? God allows suffering for a good reason. As you learn to thank him for it and say, look, I know you're just teaching me to trust you, Lord, and have peace in the midst of the storm. That's the greatest miracle, peace in the midst of the storm. So I just want to thank you for allowing me to go through sufferings. That's what I try to do. 10 minutes a day. See, I can't do that. Wait, I don't know, maybe you can, maybe you can't, but that's what I do. And you don't have to follow. This is just the way I do. You have your own plan, whatever. But Daniel had a plan. I don't know what Daniel's plan was, but he spent 3 times a day some kind of systematic plan where he just thanked God no matter what. Father, thank you for being so good to us. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen.